not ready.
We're still in the middle of the Rambam's discussions of Nevuah.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
No.
Is it related to Nevuah?
Yes.
Okay, so ask.
How did Esther get Nevuah?
That's a good question.
Was Esther was
That's a good question.
That's
a good question. There's a maral about it, which I actually said over Matzu Shabbos last month. Not this Matzu Shabbos, a week ago Matzu Shabbos, in an Altmer. The maral says because she fasted for 3 days straight. You also have to be close to the Dargis of Nevuah. You have to be close to the level of Nevuah. She was also being Matzu Nefesh in a tremendous way. But okay, that's not pertinent to what we're doing.
Right, but the other question is also.
Yeah, which is.
Well, we could answer this later, but they say that Mordechai has to look in the chuppah.
Correct.
So how is that? Are they different in relation to Nevuah?
What's the exact relationship between Ruach HaKadosh and Nevuah? That's a good question. The Ramchal talks about it. I'm not. What's the right words for it is, do you mind getting the door? I could talk. I actually have a lot of doubt to us about that, but I think that's not, I think that's a little, ask me over dinner. Ask me over dinner. Okay, again, we're in the middle of a piece about Nevuah. The Rambams. I thought this was interesting also. The Rambams, maybe we'll get there, maybe not, we'll see. The Rambam is telling us that Nevuah is very exact. If we want to know how to define Nevuah, by definition, Nevuah means an exact prediction. If Navi says that, first, I don't know, the Phillies are going to win in 7 games, right, then he's a Navi Shaker because they won in 6. I got that right?
5?
Whatever it was. Okay. However many they want it. He has to get it down exactly. Because it just says it wrong, that it's not, that's not Nevuah, and he would be a Navi Sheker by definition. Now, as we started to say, that's right. He has to get everything right, and he has to give a large slew of very exact predictions. If they're not a large amount, which in my opinion is probably around 10, maybe even more, if they're not exact, not with shtiklach teriyah that I said this, but I really meant like this, and like this, and it comes out, I'm saying this, that's not the rule we're talking about. We're talking about exact. Okay, let's see, who's first here?
Does he have to have these rules to prove he's a Navi, or does he just happen to have these rules already that make him a Navi?
Well, a Navi, again, by definition, as the Rambam pointed out, a Navi has personal qualifications. This is how he proves he's a Navi. The Rambam already, I believe, said it before. He said it before. He says it's not complete absolute proof. However, this is the way the Torah tells us to do it. And just like when two Adam come and testify, even though we're, of course, 90% sure, let's say, that what they're saying is true, we're not 100% sure, nonetheless, the Torah says that's how you're supposed to Paskin. So to Anavi, that's why I listen to Anavi. Now, David, I'm not persecuting you. I think Ariel had his hand in the air before you.
Okay, I'm next.
You're next, though. Yes.
So just to clarify, so saying that the Phillies would win 5 wouldn't be exact enough. He'd actually have to give the score of every game.
No, Lavdak, he wouldn't have to give the score, but the prediction would have to be, in 5, I think, is a clear enough prediction that would be, I think that's a clear enough prediction to qualify as a prediction of a Navi.
And also, so like the laws of Gematria don't apply to add 1 or subtract
1. I know. The laws of Gematria absolutely do not apply.
Okay.
So how can you criticize a Navi?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking. David, that was too vague. Ask more.
There's so many people criticizing the Navi and Hadar. But if they go through this whole rigorous process of making sure they get everything right and everybody's sure it's a Navi, it's like criticizing Edom on a star.
Can I give a great example?
Okay.
We have Elisha, right?
Yeah.
He killed like 24 kids with like bears.
Yeah, well.
They made fun of him.
Not kids.
Well, so you have to exercise.
How can justify? They say that they were born.
They were impertinent.
Right.
And they were impertinent and insulting him, and he was within his rights to do it. Okay. And that, of course, is the main right approach. You're definitely right. One has to be quite hesitant. On the other hand, as the Rambam says in Shmona Prakim, and we're not gonna. I don't really sure we're not gonna do that this year. As Rambam says in Shmona Prakim, even though a Navi is a very great person and basically, and as far as we're concerned, complete control of his character, nonetheless, that doesn't mean he can't do something wrong, because he can't do something wrong. Even Avraham Avinu did something wrong, so certainly a Navi can. And of course, you're right. You have to be very careful in how you talk about a Navi. Absolutely. My preface to whenever I speak about David HaMelech is what David HaMelech himself said when they told him to kill Shaul. He said, I don't want to tell you. You're telling me to touch the Mashiach Hashem. I can't touch the Mashiach Hashem. Ki Mashiach Hashem. So the same thing is true about a Navi. You have to be very careful when you're speaking about a Navi. I absolutely, absolutely agree. Was David a Navi? The Rambam states that David was a Navi. David had said the entire Tehillim and Ruach HaKadosh, even if Ruach HaKadosh is not, Ruach HaKadosh is not exactly Nevuah, it is very close to Nevuah, and absolutely one has to exercise restraint, isn't even the right words. David HaMelech is, as I said in other places, David HaMelech is the most controversial figure in Jewish history, yet we still have to be careful when speaking about him, because the entire Shechina, the entire Beis HaMikdash is all called and identified with David as a person. Re'e Beischa David. It's David's house, and that's the permanent place for the Shechina, and that should really tell you, well, it's Ke'ilo, it's not, but it's not. He didn't build it at all. You're right. Are they right? He didn't build it. But it's called David's house. Why is it called David's house? Because the Shechina, which was there, was B'schus, was in David's merit. Okay. Now, we're going on to see the exceptions to the rule. Nevuah is exact, but that's only Nevuah L'tava. Nevuah is exact, but that's only Nevuah L'tava. Nevuah L'ra, when a prophet comes and says a bad prediction, you're going to die this year. There's not going to be, as a chas of Shalom, of course, there's not going to be enough rain this year. Enemies are going to come and attack you this year, etc., etc., etc. The Nevi'im were talking about Korban HaBayis for a solid 150 years before it happened. So it's not necessary that it will happen, because if one does tshuva, then the Nevuah can be reversed, even if you don't do complete tshuva. If you start thinking about tshuva, maybe Hashem Ki'ilu Kiviyachal will change his plans. On any of these are possibilities, I think David got first here. Yes, David. Any of these are possibilities to change the Nevuah L'ra. Yes, David.
So how could it be people saw in the view and they were telling all these things that they didn't care?
Oh, that's a hard... You could ask it even better. David wants to know, how could they see the view and keep on doing things wrong? That's a hard question, which it's hard for us to completely understand. I'll ask it in a different form, and then I'll tell you what the Vilna Gaon says. Quoting the Vilna Gaon, this is a well-known statement. They say in the name of the Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that I can understand every generation back to the in other words, he could understand all the Rishonim and the Gaonim and the Amoraim and the Tanoim. He could all those people. He could understand their spiritual stature until he gets back to the last door of even people in Bais Sheni. All those people he could understand. When he gets to the last door of Bais Rishon, that every, even simple people were able to see Nevi'im whenever they wanted to, that's beyond his ability to understand how they were able to see such a thing. And if the Gaon says it's beyond his ability, it's certainly beyond mine. And for that, I quote the Rambam to you in Hakdamat Tachelik, which is just like a blind man doesn't understand color, so too it's hard for us to understand exactly what the Olam Haba is. And even though in a sense Nevuah is close to us, because you know after Mashiach comes, most people will be zochet to Nevuah. Most people, yes, Mufurishans in Yoel. Most people will be zochet to Nevuah. We're not doing that in Nachbikias. Maybe next year, but not this year. most people will be zochet to Nevuah. Nonetheless, in practical terms, we're pretty far away from it. Yeah. Question?
First of all, would you want to be an example of someone who gave a bad Nevuah and then like it changed?
Yes, a perfect example. That was Eric Mordor or John Mordor. I forget which one had the question. What's with Yonah? Rabbi, what's with Yonah? So the answer is, it a Nevuah L'ra? A Nevuah L'ra chazaras. Nevuah L'ra can be changed. They did tshuva. Now, it's very interesting. Masa Nachum HaKoshi, the Sefer Nachum, is all about the destruction of Nineveh. The Mahari Kral, who is a Rishon a little after Rashi, says, what happened? Yoni went and gave him tavchacha, he went and rebuked them, and they did tshuva at that time. But later they went back to their old evil ways, and that's why they were destroyed. And that's the whole sefer of Nachum. That's the first Mahari Kra in Nachum. Okay. Why can't a good nevuah be changed? That's an excellent question. There is a lot, that's a massive sugya. In my notes that I hope to work on it some. I'm not, you know, it depends on cooperation of the guys, but I hope to work on it some. The main right approach probably is that really there shouldn't be a difference between bad and good nevuah. Not the bad nevuah, not the good nevuah is stronger than bad nevuah. Rather that, we need one type of nevuah to be unchangeable in order to have a way to test the Navi. And because by nature Hashem is a Baal Rachamim, therefore Hashem picked to be good to us, He picked the good nevuah that shouldn't change rather than the bad nevuah.
Also, you know, you could just say that, you know, God is Rachamim and He always tries to give us the best. You know, if you have like a simple answer, it's just that.
Yeah, okay, all right, in theory, I always have a different statement I say, which is, in theory, anything can be true, and the question is, what do we have, what do we know? And I'm synopsizing. There's a lot of different Swiss material about it. And I hear what you're saying. You're saying a theoretical theory, but there's reasons why people say one thing or the other. There's a Gemara, there's a Parsha in Yirmiyah, there's a couple of other things also. Another maybe Gemara's Psukim, I don't remember on right, but there's a number of source materials we have to work with. And that's what everyone's stuck with. Okay, now let's go on. Let's finally go on. Okay, now, the Rambam first again. The Rambam says, Nevuah Ra'ah can be changed because you may do tshuva, or Hashem may, or something on those lines. Avraham Yivtiyah, the Psuas Tovus, she's chaj. The Rambam here, I hold, is very, very, Medukdak, he's very exact. Avraham Yivtiyah, the Psuas Tovus, she's chaj, Rizman Katsuv, but if there's a promise for something good that will happen at an exact time. V'yomer, b'shana zu yeh hashkeh v'shalva, there'll be a quiet, peaceful year. V'haibur mechamas, and instead there was a war. Or, shana zu teg shum avrucha, v'yam arav v'tzeres chadam, it'll be a very, very rainy, good year, and instead it was a no rain, and people starved. Then we know he's an avi sheker. Yeah.
Don't we say that depending on people's actions, some
of it was
like...
Wait. The Rambam is about to ask you Kasha in a more sophisticated way. Are you asking good? So first up, the Rambam states as a fact. That the only Nevuah, the only prophecy he's speaking about is prophecy that is exact. It's Nizman Kotzuf. It's an exact prophecy to an exact person. If it's a vague Nevuah, then by definition, that's not called Nevuah Tov Shana Chazeres. That's not called an exact Nevuah that a Navi has become a Navi Shaker from. Okay. Again, so the Rambam goes on, and I skipped a little bit, just Shikar Shosh Baruch, Shiav Tiach, B'Zuz Tov, Zodei Navi, Yevshish Yasek, Kreshish Kam, Nevuah Zod Me Odom. When it's a good nevuah, it's going to have to happen. Any good thing which comes out of Hashem's mouth, in other words, means a nevuah, or that's the other thing, there's a targum in Yeshayah. If it's a good thing, even if there's a condition listed, it's not going to change. Now we have a major issue, which is the second major exception. We know that the Pachad Yaakov. Acher shivticha kodesh baruch b'mitzvos tavos, k'mo she'amar, hinei anochi imach, shmartichem b'chol she'ateirech. V'hamavach pen yamos, she'amar v'yir Yaakov mar v'yetzera. Yaakov was promised Hashem is going to be with him at all times. And we see in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, he was very scared. He thought Esav is going to kill him. Why did he think Esav is going to kill him? We have a similar thing by Avram. Avram was given promises, and then he keeps asking, "How do I know?" Okay, this is what is called by Chazal Shema Yigam Chet. Shema Yigam maybe Chet maybe sin will cause something to be changed. And the Rambam is bothered, if we have a klal, if we have a general rule, the nevuah tovei no chazeres, then why and how do we see in Midrashim the concept of the shema yigamachet? That it's possible to change a nevuah. It's possible to change a nevuah if you do something wrong.
Where does
Rome
get this cloth from?
Did
he make it up?
Shema Yigamachet? No, it's Midrash Rabbah. It's Midrash Rabbah. It's a Yalkut. Nevuah Tovei
Nechazeres?
The
bad Nevuah can't be changed.
The good Nevuah can't be changed.
Yes.
The good, that's a Gemara. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin probably. Brachas Gemara. Brachas Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in a couple of places. Theoretically, one might, some guy, and I was speaking about this last Shabbos actually. So he said, it's a machlokas Rishonim. I said, well, I don't see any, and it's not clear, the Rishonim didn't think it was a machlokas. So, in other words, there is theoretically a place to say there's a machlokas Midrashim here. But, the Rambam, the Ran, and someone else speaks about it also. The Maral. And the Ramban, I don't remember if it's Mamash Mukhrah, but definitely those, the three, most people when they look at this issue, assume there's no machlokas, and therefore we're going to assume there's no machlokas. So what do we do with Pachad Yitzchak, with Shema Yigamachet? I want your Pachad Yitzchak. So what's going on? Amul Chazal, Be'inahu, Shahim Afachad Be'avon, Shema Yigam Lamis. Chazal tells, he was scared that perhaps sin is going to cause him to die. That's like Chazal say. He thought maybe sin is going to change things. It would seem from this that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises good, if someone does enough sins, it's going to change. So now here's the Rambam's also very quite exact over here. Yesh l'das she'inyin ze'enu el ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'en enofi. The only time this is true is when there's something specifically between Hashem and the Navi. But when Hashem tells a Navi to promise other people, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells a Navi to go tell someone else a clear statement without any conditions, that cannot be. That's what Chazal means. Nevuah Tovei Nechazeres. Nevuah again. Nevuah Tovei Nechazeres is when a Navi comes and tells someone else a good promise, something good's going to happen to them. That's Nevuah Tovei She'en Nechazeres. That's Nevuah Tovei which cannot be reversed. However, when a Navi is given a personal promise, something told to him, directed to him and not pertinent to others, that can be, and that it is possible, Shemi Gimachet, that if he does wrong, it could be changed.
Rabbi Weinstein?
Yeah.
Isn't it possible that some good prophecies that are from exact time in the future, if people, you know, act, if they're good and they're mitai and they do mitzvahs,
uh-huh,
so they can be hastened?
Is that like the Mashiach? I know
all
the prophecies.
That year, maybe it was because the year earlier it was brought.
If it is given an exact time, then it is going to have to happen at that time. All the nevuahs about Mashiach, about the quotes, the end of days, were specifically said in a vague way, because there's no time. There's no exact time limit from Midirei Hanaviim written down.
Don't
there
6,000?
Yeah.
6,000 is not Midirei Nevi'im. That's based, I would say it's more than a guess, but that's based, Chazal based that on different ideas, etc. That's not an explicit Nevi'im.
What happens if we get 6,000 Mashiach
out here? I don't know. It's hard for me to believe we'll be able to make it.
He's coming this year. Exactly. In fact, he's coming tomorrow.
Okay.
Today?
I don't know.
Can't come to this.
No, he can't come to this. He's got to come to
okay.
This.
Why?
Okay, let's go on. Okay. Now, the Rambam says the classic case of this, of where we see this, the classic case we see this is the story of Yirmiyah and Hananiah ben Azar.
Obama's Mashiach.
So again, the Rambam says this is the famous story of Yirmiyah and Hananiah ben Azor. This is the story of Yirmiyah and Hananiah ben Azor. What happened? Yirmiyah was prophesying, was saying that there's going to be a Churban HaBayis. There's going to be a Churban HaBayis, and in other words, what happened? Nebuchadnezzar came and exiled Jehoiachin. He exiled Yahoo, who was the king. That's right, and he took many of the kingdom of the Beis Hamikdash and left over. He took the gold and silver ones, left over the copper ones. And Yirmiyah said, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come back and take everything else, and he's going to destroy the Beis.
Wait, isn't that something to figure out?
No. Hananiah ben Azor said, no, that's not what's going to happen. He said next year Nebuchadnezzar is going to bring back all the Kalim, and he's going to bring back all the Kalim. So Yirmiyah says to Hananiah ben Azor, he says to him, Shema no Hananiah. He says, listen to me, Hananiah. There have been a lot of Nevi'im before, many times before, and they say a lot of prophecies. That when a Navi says a Nevi'u, which is true, Bevod Dvar Navi, Yivod Navi Shashloch Hashem Be'emes. When a Navi says a Nevi'u Tavon, and it comes true, that's how you know he's a Navi.
And this is more or less in the Psukim.
And Yirmiyah says to Hananiah ben Azor, I'm saying a Nevi'u Ra'ah, and if my Nevi'u doesn't come true, it's not right, it doesn't prove me as a Navi Shaker. But you just said a Nevi'u Tavon, and if your Nevi'u doesn't come true, it's going to prove that you're a Navi Shaker. That's the famous story of Yirmiyah and Hananiah ben Azor.
Did it come
true? Yirmiyah, Hananiah ben Azor, I guess I'll tell you that also. Just make sure I'm in the right place.
He was killed.
Now, Hananiah ben Azor
was a Navi
Shaker? Not only was a Navi Shaker, wait a second. Oh, I'm confused. I'll tell you the story first, and I'll go. He says that Yirmiyah was wearing yokes. He was wearing a yoke made out of wood to symbolize that everyone's going to be under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. Hananiah ben Azor then walks after Yirmiyah says to him that your Nevuah has to come true. Hananiah ben Azor walks over to Yirmiyah and breaks the yoke and says, "Kacha shavati o malach bavel." This is his key. Hashem saying, sitting in. To break the yoke of Melech Bavel, which is on Yirmiyah's back. Yirmiyah then turned, then a Nevuah comes to Yirmiyah, that even though Hananiah ben Azor Ki'ilu broke a yoke made out of wood, now it's as if there's a yoke made out of iron on Yirmiyah's neck. So Yirmiyah goes to Hananiah and says, you're definitely a Navi Shaker, and you're going to die this year. And he died.
Is that
Mikra Mefurish.
Is that a Nevi'ah Tova or the Ra?
That's a Nevi'ah. That is a Nevi'ah Ra. And if he would have done Tshuva, he could have changed it, but he didn't. What actually happened is he died erev Rosh Hashanah, and then his children had him buried after Rosh Hashanah in order to make Yirmiyah look like a Navi Shaker. Okay, now just wait a second here. I'm just confused because the Ram goes back. Okay, now. After a Navi is established as a Navi MS, as a real Navi, he has ability to do something that no one else could do.
Which is
something called Harasha. What is Harasha? He has the ability to make a Harasha. What is Harasha? Harasha is like this. He says, even though normally we have to, we have an Isra of Shatnas a Lav. He comes and says, today, you're allowed to wear shatnas for one day. For whatever reasons. For a reason.
Ooh, this is...
Now, he's not saying... Oh, no, wait a second. He's not changing the halacha. Let me go through the whole piece of Rambam about this. Patience. Let's go to the end of this piece of Rambam, then you can ask questions. Let's go from this piece of Rambam to the end of it, and then we can ask questions. He says, this mitzvah, we're not doing for a limited amount of time for a specific reason, and Hashem told me this, then, as he has already proven himself as a Navi, we're chayav to listen to him. Okay, for example, the Rambam says, Eliyahu b'har Karmel, when Eliyahu offered sacrifices at Har Karmel, the Beis HaMikdash was existing. And when the Beis HaMikdash is existing, then there is a Bamos or Asr. It's Asr to offer a sacrifice to anyone else. Yet Eliyahu did. That's called Harasha. It's not he did with the Svara. He had a specific prophecy from Hashem allowing him to do it. And he was doing it to take everyone away from Avodah Zarah. And as the Rambam says, if we have asked Eliyahu, is one allowed to be makir an abama? Is one allowed to offer a sacrifice an abama? He would have said, certainly not. I'm doing it now with a prophecy, and I'm doing it in a temporary fashion, and that's why we're doing it. We're doing it in order to show people that Hashem is all king, which is what happened. Similarly, the Rambam says, Elisha, he told, they were going to fight, I don't remember who, I think it was Moab, but maybe not, it was Moab. He told them, cut down all the trees, even Eitz Ma'achal, even trees which have fruit. Normally there's an issur to cut down a fruit tree which is called Baal Tashchis. Right. However, over here is Nevuah Rashah, that in this war, wait a second, in this war you're allowed to do it. Okay. Clear? Question?
Yeah. I learned that if someone claims to be a Navi, he says anything that goes against the Halacha, we're supposed to,
saying that it's only temporary. That was my
point. Oh, see, that's the point. The Navi comes. If the Navi comes before he's proven to be a Navi, he cannot do this. When the Navi comes, and that's what the Rambam said earlier, that a Navi can't change the Halacha. If the Navi comes and tells you something, if the Navi says, Katzel says kapa, cut off her hand, which Chazal say means knas, he tells you it doesn't mean knas, it means really cut off her hand. He says, that's what Hashem told him. That's a Navi Sheker, and you kill him on the spot. Over here, what's going on is it's a Harasha. What? No, you're right. Let's get a Chumash. Where's the Chumash?
Maybe there's no way for Yirmiyahu to prove.
Okay. Now, the Rambam says, I'm going to show you a mashal to make this very clear. What's the mashal? He says, let's say another comes to us and tells us we have to attack a certain city on Shabbat. And we have to go not only attack the city on Shabbos, we have to make weapons
on Shabbos
and go attack that city. The Rambam says, we be obligated we who are commanded by Moshe's Torah to get up immediately not wait. Kasher tzivadah. Like we've been commanded, but now it's a kumash atzivah with Jesus. So v'chivah yisayah. We have to do what we've been commanded with Jesus, alacrity, and with a lot of love.
Alacrity.
V'chivah yisayah. Bless everyone who ikum. And not wait, not go slowly. The naman will believe, we know it's true, b'chol mashanaz, whatever you do on that day, even though it's Shabbos, even though we're lighting fires, and doing malachas and killing people's asr and war, it's a mitzvah, and we know Hashem is going to reward us for it. Because when the Navi tells us to do something, through the medium of the law, we commanded to listen to him, like it says in the Torah, Elov Tishmo. We have to listen to the Navi. And as long as he's not telling us to permanently negate a mitzvah, change a mitzvah, or to do a Avodah Zarah, even temporarily, if the Navi tells you, worship a Avodah Zarah even for 1 second, you don't listen to him, but as long as it's neither of those, we have to listen to him, and we know Hashem is going to give us his mitzvah's asset to listen to him, and we're going to be well rewarded for it.
Even
Shrikas
Namgilei
Arayas? Even Shrikas Namgilei Arayas, we never found such a thing. Avodah Zarah, you don't listen to him. As the Rambam brings, B'kolam Yamuch Anavi, Arvo Divedera, Shmavo Chutz Mi Avodah Zarah. If a Navi tells you to do something, to go against Torah temporarily, as long as it's not Avodah Zarah, you have to do it.
Wait, this is like a definite Navi or a Navi like...
This is a definite Navi. A Navi who has proven himself as a Navi now has this great ability. Now, the Rambam goes on. V'yachshav v'nachshav ishu tzadav yoshmai. Why is Zakim Rabbi Yehuda? The old Tzadik Talmud Chacham says, listen, I'm 75 years old. I never was Mechal Shabbos. I never desecrated the Sabbath once in my life. How I'm gonna? I'm such an old person. I have to go and fight and do these things. How did we come on Shabbos? Shabbos is holy. The ever of Isra Skila. The ever of Isra Skila. I'm going to go to an Isra Skila.
I assume
I'm going to
say
these
Kofar, the Shemayim.
You're getting close. You must have, there's other people who can do it. There's plenty of people besides me. So the Rabbi says, Aisha, oh, man, my Lord, you're a Hashem, who can't meet him in Ishmael. This person is rebelling. He's going against what Hashem says. He's going to meet him in Ishmael. He's transgressing what the Navi said. Wait a second, just one more sense, one more little line. Umi Shitziva Hashabis, the one who commanded us to keep Shabbos, who tzivu Shmuel Divrei Navi Mashi Yigzor. The one who commanded us to listen to Shabbos also commands us to listen to the Navi, and he has to get up and do it. Okay, now, before any questions, wait a second, you remember your question? We have a kuzu. And this is a different permutation of the Kuzri's idea. I don't think I said that and said this Kuzri yet in this class, but if I did, it'll be Chazal. The king of the Khuzars asked the Chacham the following question. Who is a Chassid? How do you define someone who's a righteous person? So, the Chacham says back, what? The Chacham says back, you have a ruler. You have a king who rules the state, and he develops natural resources, and he makes sure the different types of people have all the right types of employment, and he's making sure that, you know, building roads and making sure everything's working in the smoothest possible fashion, etc., etc., etc. I'm somewhat, you know, shortening the Kuzri because he goes in, you know, long description. Long description. What?
You learned Sefer Kuzri?
I own three versions of it.
Wow, can you learn it?
I have learned parts. I've not learned all of it, but I have learned or the large parts of it.
How many versions are there?
No, it's all the same thing. I have three translations. I have three translations. I have the classic, I have another guy's, and
what
I have it's written in Arabic. Yeah. Okay, so it goes a long description of what the Greek philosophers called the ideal ruler. So the king of the Khuzars stops him and says, excuse me, sir, I asked you about a chassid, not about the ideal ruler, not about who's a good king. So the Chacham turns back to the Melech of Khuzar, the king of the Khuzars, and says to him, Ha chassid hu hamelech, hu hamelech, hu hashalet b'chol mitosav. A chassid is a king. He's someone who rules all of his midos, all of his character traits properly. So this Rambam is a different... It's the same idea, just slightly different application. It's of course, you know, as I say, that from the main thrusts of Chassidus, and I mean modern Chassidus, not the Kuzri is talking about Chassid, general Chassidus, the main thrusts of modern Chassidus is what we call Bikush, Taira, and Kedusha, looking and searching out for holiness and purity. For example, when the Sanzer Rebbe was in one of the last camps he was in. The Tzanzer Rebbe was in the last camp he was in. Right beyond the camp, there was a pond. And when he was going to work every day, he passed the pond, and he was very bothered that he could not be tovel, he could not go use the pond as a mikvah. And he was like very bothered by it, every day going passing this pond, not able to go in and use this pond as a mikvah. Finally, he was liberated, and everyone else ran to go get their bread. The Tzanzer Rebbe ran to the pond to be tovel, to immerse himself in a mikvah. Woo-hoo. So that's he made a bracha shahakol in the water, and he said afterwards, halavai, all the rest of the bracha shahakol he made should have had as much kavana. And afterwards he went into the
pond. Was that your book?
What?
Was that your book? That was somebody else's book.
That's somebody else. That's, I have the book, but it's someone else's. Now, that is the classic bikush of Chassidus for Tahira and Kedusha. So in one sense, there's a bikush, and that is definitely an approach in Avodas Hashem, looking for Tahira and Kedusha. And that's what the Rambam is painting this old Talmud Chacham, as a person who's looking, who enjoyed the Kedushas of Shabbos his entire life. But you have to be a chassid, a real chassid, means that when it's under normal circumstances, that is how we act. But when there's a mitzvah from a Navi to do something else, then we have to be a chassid, we have to be a melech, we have to be shalit, we have to rule our mind and our desires and understand that in this case, Kedusha and Tyre is going to come as a result of listening to the Navi and going to war on Shabbos when the Navi tells us to go to war. Question? Question?
I had a question before about Abishagar.
Sure, ask. No problem, ask. We'll finish off with your question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now the next thing, there's something. The next thing I don't want to start yet because it's a major piece. I want to give prophecy. We're almost done. We're almost done with next time. We're going to finish off prophecy and start off the next thing, which is going to get into eventually Machlokas.
Can we bring it?
Yes. Yeah. We'll just ask. Navi Sheker.
Where does Navi Sheker come from? Somebody just gets up and just says something random. I mean, like the story of
Yirmiyahu and Elchanan ben Azor. What? Now, Yashke was not. Yashke didn't claim to be a prophet.
That was Paul.
They later tried to sort of. They never really claimed he was a prophet.
Jesus.
Where does it? Why would a person try to make?
Yeah,
well, I'll get to Muhammad in a minute. Why would a person try to claim to be a Navi Sheker? That's a good question. The facts are, we always see Nevi'ei Sheker in the end of Bayis Rishon. In the beginning of Bayis Sheni, in the Tekuvos of Mishnah, we don't see any references to people who tried to be a Navi Sheker. There is a halakhic question, which we spoke about already. Excellent. Beautiful. There's a halakhic question we spoke about already, is if an illiterate shepherd, sort of like Muhammad, walks in and claims to be a prophet, would we even consider him a Navi, to be a Navi Sheker or not? Some achronim or not. I wanted to be medak the Rambam that we would. But that's a hard question. What would motivate someone?
I mean, why would
Hananya ben Azar? According to some Rishonim, Hananya ben Azar was initially a Navi Emes, and he only later became a Navi Sheker. That is even harder in a sense to understand. One would sort of assume that he was motivated by his desire for things to turn out good for the Jewish people.
And my other question is, Can you believe Nevi'im from other places, like other nations?
Yeah, so it's Mefurish in Chazal, and that's the biggest tema, and we'll speak about it more. No, that there are Nevi'im who are not Jewish, only existed before Mount Torah. After Mount Torah, there are no Nevi'im who are Jewish.
Wait, so what did Jesus claim that he didn't claim he was a prophet?
What did they claim? You know, let me put this way. They don't really honestly believe their own book, so I don't think we should really give it that much credence.
You should have
Can someone have nevuah but not consistently and still consider being nevuah? Like, can you get it right like 9 out of 10 times?
If it's nevuah l'tava, by definition. As Rambam quoted earlier,
I guess it's 9 out of 10.
No, but see, that's the Rambam earlier. The Rambam was bothered. If you have a very good meteorologist, maybe he could pass himself off as a Navi. Yep. So that, he talks about ancient people. He talks about astrologers. But this modern idea, you have a political analyst. He gets things right 9 out of 10 times, as Rambam says. Anyone who's that accurate, that's very rare to have someone with such a high accuracy rate. You know, right before, like 4 months ago, in the middle of the summer, one of the top analysts of oil prices said, "Looks like oil is about to break the $200 barrel limit," and the oil is holding right now down in the $60 barrel limit. Okay, and then summer also, someone said the shekel hit, the dollar fell under 3.20 shekel. And as some Israeli expert said, there's nothing stopping the dollar from falling under 3. Which in theory, he's right. We know right now where the dollar is holding, 3.70. It's really weird. No, by definition, as the Rambam quotes about Shmuel, how do they know Shmuel was a Navi? Because lo yipo mivrav arza. Everything he said came exactly true. The definition of nevuah, by definition, is exactitude. If it's not exactly true, even to a real litvak like me or the Rambam, then it's not nevuah.
So